Everybody, thanks for joining me in my third in a series of 10 videos that I'm going to make on 10 reasons why I believe cessationism is wrong. Let me just run over quickly. Reason number one, cessationism is wrong because the miraculous gifts of the Spirit are part of God's promise to all generations. Peter said so in his sermon on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, especially verses 33 and 39. Number two, cessationism is wrong because there's no biblical statement that any of the gifts of the Spirit have passed away. That was our last video. And then now number three, cessationism is wrong because sign gifts and other gifts are false categories. You see, the division of the gifts of the Spirit into sign gifts and otherwise is an artificial distinction imposed on passages such as 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, and Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Let's take a look at this. I'm going to read to you now Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So here, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul lists the gift of prophecy, ministry, we just call that service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. Now, virtually every Bible-believing Christian would agree that every one of these gifts, with the possible exception of one, and I'll get to that in a moment, but that these gifts are for today. The difficulty comes with how one defines prophecy. Some people define prophecy, as Paul gives it here in Romans chapter 12, as a simple non-miraculous preaching of the gospel. And the idea is just, well, the prophet proclaims, the preacher proclaims. Friends, I have a problem with that. I believe that almost always when the New Testament speaks of prophecy, especially in the context of spiritual gifts, it's more than good preaching. There's some kind of spontaneous communication from the Holy Spirit at work. Not necessarily in a weird way, but real nevertheless. But it's a challenge on this particular issue of prophecy in dealing with cessationists, because some cessationists want prophecy to mean a miraculous revelatory word that is passed, that God no longer does. That they believe that died out in apostolic times. But then there's other cessationists who want prophecy to simply mean preaching in a general sense. It's sometimes hard to keep track of. Okay, that's the listing there from Romans chapter 12. Now let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to begin at verse 4. Paul writes this. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I find it fascinating that even though within this passage, Paul lists a diversity of gifts of the Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. I guess that's 9 altogether. His purpose here isn't really to go into an explanation of what each one of those things mean. You can kind of assume that Paul understood that the Corinthians understood what he meant by all those. His main point in this passage is to emphasize that these gifts should never divide God's people. They should bring them together because it's one Spirit who's in charge of all these things. It's one Spirit who distributes these gifts. And he distributes these gifts individually as he wills. Now, this is the list of spiritual gifts that at least sometimes presents controversy. Virtually all Bible-believing Christians believe that some of these gifts are for today, but there's some who believe that some of these gifts are not for today. And what they want to do is they want to divide this list in sign gifts and, I don't know, proclamation gifts or ministry gifts or something like that. They make different categories. Now, I want to make this very clear. Sometimes unfair accusations are made against cessationists. Sometimes our Pentecostal and charismatic brethren, they say inaccurate and I think harmful things about or against cessationists. They say things like this: you don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, friends. Cessationists believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They just don't believe in all of the gifts of the Spirit being made available to the church today. They say things like this: hey, cessationists, you don't believe in the work of the Spirit. That's not true. Cessationists believe in the work of the Spirit. They just don't believe that the Holy Spirit works through the miraculous gifts, that those things died out with the apostles or in the apostolic age. Sometimes charismatics or Pentecostals will say that cessationists don't believe that God works miracles. Friends, that's not true. Cessationists believe that God works miracles. They just don't believe that there is a so-called gift of miracles, or that people can't perform miracles on command, which, by the way, is true, but that's something for a later video. Another one of my 10 reasons. But let's just get back to this. More accurately, the question is not, are the gifts of the Spirit for today? But the question is, are all the gifts of the Holy Spirit for today? Are some of them no longer given by God? Now, again, the cessationist approach is to divide these lists. They make one category of what they call sign gifts, usually including the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, healings, miracles, prophecy, tongues, interpretation tongues, although sometimes they speak of revelatory gifts, and these are sign gifts, but they don't believe either one, either revelatory gifts or sign gifts, are for today, that those died out in apostolic times. Some of them make the argument that before the apostles died, some of them believe it was with the death of the apostles. But here's the critical point. When you read Romans chapter 12, when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the text itself makes no such division. Paul never wrote, never hinted at the idea, okay, this is one category of gifts, this is a second category of gifts, and here's a third category of gifts. He groups them all together. As a matter of fact, with his emphasis in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 on the fact that it's one Spirit who gives all of these gifts, he's looking to the unity of the group, not trying to divide it up into different parts. And you could X out some of those parts. Now, it's true that 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 mentions the signs of an apostle. That's something we're going to talk about more in a later video. But when 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 mentions the signs of an apostle, it doesn't say specifically what those signs were, other than to say signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. What would that include? Could bold evangelism and church planting be a mighty deed? Could tenacity in the face of persecution be a sign and wonder, perhaps? Would it include healings? Would it include miracles? Probably. Would it include prophecy? Would it include tongues? You see, we don't know which specific gifts are numbered among the signs of apostle. It's a very unclear category. It's a definite category. Paul mentions this. The signs of apostles, signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. But what those exactly were, the text doesn't tell us. But even so, the gifts in operation in 1 Corinthians 12 happened without the presence of an apostle. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 especially, it's clear that the gifts of the Spirit were in operation among the Corinthian congregation, sometimes in strange and invalid ways, but were nevertheless in operation. And the gifts of the Spirit were in operation without the presence of an apostle. Now go back to that list. What do you have in that list? You have the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Those things were happening in Corinth without the presence of an apostle. That's why Paul had to address them by letter. Do you see the point here? Whatever was going on in the Corinthian church, whatever legitimate spiritual gifts were being practiced there, those were not the signs of an apostle because there wasn't an apostle present with them. Now, again, I want to emphasize, these lists of spiritual gifts are unified wholes, and they're only artificially separated. Now, I'll conclude with this. I would agree that there are two gifts no longer given to the church. Or if I could be more precise, there's one office and one gift that are no longer given to the church. You could call me if you wanted to. I've never heard somebody use this terminology. Maybe it's out there. I just haven't heard it. But you could call me a partial cessationist. Because I do believe that there's something different about the church today than in apostolic times. There's two gifts or offices that are no longer given. Number one, the office of authoritative apostle or prophet in the Ephesians 2:20 sense is no longer present in the church. Nobody today, no matter how many apostolic credentials they claim for themselves, no matter how much applause they get, no matter what it says on their business card, nobody has the authority of Peter towards the church today or Paul towards the church today. God gave those a unique authority in the Ephesians 2:20 sense that God's church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and it doesn't need any other foundation. So I would completely agree that Ephesians 2:20 says that the office of authoritative apostle or prophet is no longer in the church. If that makes me a partial cessationist, then so be it. I don't care. Secondly, I would say that there's a gift. Now, this is a gift that's not mentioned specifically in the scriptures, but I think it's a real gift. The gift of perfectly receiving communication from God. Nobody has that gift today, and nobody has it since the end of the New Testament. Friends, if you think about God revealing things, God working in the process of revelation, and some of this is a mystery, but you have two aspects. You have God communicating in some way, communicating by thoughts, communicating by guidance, communicating by words, whatever, God communicating in some way, and man receiving that communication. There's two parts to it. Now, friends, God's part of communication is always perfect. God is perfect. God cannot communicate in anything other than a perfect way. But it's not only as God communicates, it's as man receives and communicates. In the revelation that we have recorded in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, but in the Bible, not only was God speaking perfectly, but he gave those who would receive the ability to receive that communication from God perfectly. And that's why we have an absolutely inspired, inerrant word of God. Now, I don't believe God grants that gift anymore. And that's why we don't sit in judgment over the scriptures, but we would sit in judgment, as the New Testament says, over any purported prophetic word or proclamation. We're to test the prophets, but we don't test the word in the same way, because this we know is perfect revelation from God, not as a person might receive it. Again, there's no failing in God's speaking, but the ability to perfectly receive and communicate what God has communicated to them, that's a thing that I think God no longer grants. Well, friend, that's the third of the 10 reasons why I believe cessationism is wrong. Again, cessationism is wrong because the sign gifts and the other gifts are false categories. They're given to us as a unified whole. Therefore, for somebody to score to come and X out a certain category of gifts from some of these lists, I don't think it's valid because God didn't segment these lists of gifts in the same way. That's how I see it. Reason number 3 of 10, we invite your feedback. We invite your participation. Give it to it any way that you please. Comments in the video. We may not be able to respond to every comment, but man, we love that there'd be a good discussion about these things. So thanks for joining us, and I hope you're able to join us for some of our future videos in this particular series. Thanks for joining us.